At 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning in the spring of 1995, Susan Thunder and I were seated in the dining room of the Silver Saddle Ranch and Club, a low-rent dude ranch of sorts in the high Mojave Desert. She was scrutinizing a newspaper photograph of Tsutomu Shimomura, a young computer scientist whose digital sleuthing had brought Mitnick down a few weeks earlier. This arrest followed a 2-year computer crime spree thought to be Mitnick's most egregious and prolonged to date. "Is Tsutomu gay or bi or what?" she asked. I told her I was relatively certain he's straight. "Oh," she replied. She was plotting her revenge against Shimomura, she said, and thought she might try something from a sexual standpoint, perhaps a medium-term, possibly long-term revenge program. When I met with Susan, Mitnick was in jail in North Carolina, suspected of having spent more than 2 years breaking into computers everywhere from San Diego to the north of England. On the lam since late 1992, the 31-year-old Mitnick finally was caught when he tangled with Shimomura, whose obsessive persistence matched his own. After Mitnick's arrest, one of the first calls I got was from Susan. I was interested in her as a former cohort of Mitnick's. I had last seen her in Las Vegas in 1989 and knew to be wary of her. Our conversation 6 years earlier had been a disjointed mess, and I had spent weeks trying to verify her stories, many of which hadn't checked out. But now I was intrigued by what she said. She was irate over her friend's ignominious downfall at the hands of Shimomura, a brilliant and quirky scientist who entered the chase earlier this year after his own computers in San Diego were breached. He monitored the hacker intensively, and within a week had led FBI agents to an apartment complex in Raleigh, where they found their fugitive, presumably in the midst of a late-night hacking session. "Tsutomu's way out of line," she said, although she has never met him. "You understand? Way out of line." I decided to go visit her. I was more than a little surprised when Susan, now 36, told me she held elected office. She was a city clerk in a small town of about 8,000 in the middle of the desert. When she first greeted me at City Hall, she was dressed to dramatic effect in a multicolored chiffon skirt and black velour hat with a large spider pin vamping down one rim. Susan takes little at face value and sees conspiracy and scandal around every corner. She told me proudly that she has been devoting much of her time to rooting out malfeasance among her colleagues in municipal government. As we spoke, she was busy collecting her evidence, picking torn papers out of a waste bin and placing them in carefully labeled envelopes. But now she was preoccupied with the injustice visited upon Mitnick. She had turned his plight into her own life-affirming cause. One of her online monikers was now Friend KM. Over breakfast at the Silver Saddle, where Susan had procured me a room for the night, she plied me with chapter and verse on every topic from her days as a groupie, which included, she said, a systematic conquest of all four Beatles, to her triumphant computer hacking career. It was in Las Vegas that Mitnick had reconnected with Susan Thunder. While Kevin was still in Lompoc prison, I had visited Susan in Las Vegas. She tossed dozens of invectives in Mitnick's direction. But following his release, Mitnick apparently looked her up, and they became friends, or rather, hacking compadres. Susan claims Mitnick was interested in her expertise in military systems, but it's more likely that he was after her social engineering skills, which are admirable. In 1991, Mitnick was employed at a local direct mail company called Passkey Systems, where he programmed digital computers. But the restriction against using a modem must have made his days pretty bland, so he and Susan looked for other diversions. One of their favorite games, Susan told me, was to station themselves outside McDonald's and use a ham radio to override the drive-through order takers. They waited for black customers to drive up, then shouted, "We don't serve niggers here." She tried to teach him how to play poker, but he wasn't interested. She took him to a Barry Manilow concert, and she employed him as what she vaguely referred to as a telecommunications specialist. When Mitnick was in the throes of a project and needed her help, he could be demanding. Susan occasionally received frantic calls from him, insisting that she drop everything to call someplace to extract a password or other nugget of information. In 1990, when Susan had first laid eyes on Mitnick after so many years, she was shocked. He had lost a lot of weight and was working out regularly. He had gone from slob to dude. You know, she volunteered, that hooker side of me always wondered if he was a good fuck. With that, she embarked on the story of her attempt to seduce Kevin. First, she tried a little innocent flirting, but when subtlety didn't work, she asked him flat out, Kevin, are you dating anyone? He accused her of prying into his private life. I'm not interested in dating anyone, he replied curtly. She gave up. But I have no doubt that if I wanted to fuck him, I could have, she said.